Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
We got Gwen and Chris NFL Pick'em. When we come back, take a break. See ya.
And Chris Ello.
All right, speaking of star athletes who play with wooden bats.
Let's go! Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
You know, that's not that funny, Scrappy. Really, I've said much weirder things than that.
This is true.
I'm just trying to point that out. Welcome back to hour number two, Gwen and Chris, 404, Tuesday afternoon. Weather report, Scrappy?
Partly cloudy. Actually, it's mostly cloudy. It's mostly cloudy.
It looks like it's about to rain.
Just
like
know tomorrow,
crazy here any moment.
Where it's supposed to like 85%
oh,
chance
is it tomorrow?
Of rain. Your weather report. Will
wow,
come
it
in
is
handy.
Raining really hard. Yes. This is being cool here on the Entercom Empire. So if you're sitting out there,
what?
You know what?
Being cool.
You know what? That's going to last as long as Allen Iverson saying practice.
No, it will.
Yes, it will. When we're doing this show 20 years from now, we're still going to be able to play that clip.
Wow. Being cool.
Wow. Hey, listen up, everybody.
Shh, shh, shh.
And really, listen up. Coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen to your name to be called and call us back in 10 minutes. If you do that, you'll win a family four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night. That's coming up Friday, December 13th during the SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. Experience over 1 million lights and the all-new shows and attractions like Sesame Street Christmas Village. If you call back in time, you also will be entered to win our grand prize. That is the perfect Christmas gift this year, a Barry Manilow Vegas getaway that includes two VIP tickets to see Barry perform at the International Theater at Westgate, Las Vegas. Dinner, you always have to play Barry Manilow under this. Dinner for two at the Edge Steakhouse, plus a Serenity Spa experience. Kind of like the dinner for two at the Edge Steakhouse part. Anyway, make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Get entered for that grand prize. That's not all. To kick off the holiday season, we're adding a holiday bonus pair of tickets to see the Doobie Brothers 50th anniversary tour. That means every guy in the band has to be at least 70. Right? If they're having a 50th anniversary tour. Features Michael McDonald at the North Island Credit Union in September. You can win them before they go on sale, December 6th. Oh, there's the Doobie Brothers, too. Well, you're really sharp today, Scrappy.
I did this yesterday, but no one
you still got
December
some more
6th at LiveNation.com. No, I'm done, but I'm going to need oxygen.
Wow.
And by the way, Chris is a huge fan of Barry Manilow.
I am.
You said he was your number one guilty pleasure when we did that.
Guilty pleasure. He made my top of my guilty pleasure list. I agree with that. That's right. So if no one else wants the grand prize, I'll take it. Because it also gets the dinner for two at Edge Steakhouse.
Right, so which you definitely love.
Which I definitely like that. All right, good luck, and listen for your name. It will be called in the next 30 minutes or so. I was going to do something NBA-wise. Lakers still on the road?
They just start. No, they got back, played one home game, got roasted
now they're
by
back
Dallas.
On the road.
Now they got the tough three.
Tough three. They got Denver coming up tonight. Well, they deserve some road games, honestly, because they opened the season like, what was it, 14-20 at home, something like that. Milwaukee's won 12 in a row. I noticed that today.
I think it's 13.
It says here 12,
okay.
But I'll believe what the internet says over
okay,
you.
All right.
By the way, the Lakers have played 9 road games to their 11 home games.
No way. Yes. Really? Well, one of those was at the Clippers.
One of those was at the Clippers.
It's a little misleading. But anyway, Milwaukee beat the Knicks. That's what I wanted to talk about. They beat the Knicks last night by 404 points. I believe the score was
404.
Yes, the
I love
Bucks
that number.
483, the Knicks 79. What are the Knicks doing? I mean,
don't think the Knicks know what they're doing.
I mean, are the Knicks? That would be kind of an interesting topic if we just off the top of our head, because there's some bad organizations in sports. But, I mean, the Knicks have to be in that discussion.
Can we do that as a top five?
Sure.
I think we just hit up a top five.
Tomorrow's subject will be the five worst franchises in sports. That's a good one. And I'm pretty sure the Knicks will make both of our lists. I mean, they have been so bad for so long, and they're not, I mean.
Can we talk about the common denominator in this?
Yeah, the owner.
Yeah.
It usually is the owner. I mean, for any bad franchise, it's normally the owner. I mean, that's
Clippers,
where it starts.
The Clippers are a great example.
Ask the Chargers.
The Clippers were the laughing stock of sports.
For 20 years.
For as long as I've been alive.
Mm-hmm.
Till recently.
Yeah.
When
the ownership changed.
Bought the team from Sterling.
Yeah.
Everything changed.
That's right. The Bucks beat the Knicks actually by 44 points. It was 132-88. That was their second consecutive victory by 40 or more points. That has only happened like 5 times in the last 40 years. But the thing that's interesting, it's the second time it's happened this season.
Because
Dallas did it a couple of weeks ago, and I believe the Knicks were one of the teams they beat also.
I believe you're right.
So, I mean, it's one thing to be a bad NBA team and lose most of your games, and the Warriors are struggling, et cetera, after their 5 championship seasons. But the Knicks, like, don't even play the game. Like, they just get beat by 50 almost every night.
It
is terrible.
Like, at least when you watch the Atlanta Hawks, you get to see Trae Young.
And you understand they're a small market team. It's the Atlanta Hawks.
Right.
I mean, this is the New York Knicks, one of the marquee franchises in the history of the NBA. And they are disastrous. Disastrous.
They at least used to be one of the marquee.
The league would like the Knicks to be good.
No doubt. The league is better when the Knicks are good.
Sure, sure. Bucks are 18-3. They have the best record in the NBA at the moment. Lakers could tie that tonight when they play at Denver. And by the way, if you're watching the Laker game tonight, it starts around 6 o'clock. Do not call the show.
Please call.
Because if you give Tony Gwynn Jr. the score of a Laker game before he gets home, it's not a pretty sight.
Just don't be that guy or gal. You know, don't ruin it.
But I was telling the coach today, you talk about DVRing sports. I have a hockey game from last night that I haven't watched yet. So I plan on watching that tonight. I've been staying away from the score all day and all night.
You know,
so that's just me. That's my life, is staying away from scores.
The reason why I'm so hard on that is obviously I want to watch the game, but I have to. It's a reminder to myself, because there's been many times where I've been trying to stay away from game scores, and just out of habit, I'll open up the ESPN app, and bam.
It's the first thing they put, because you put that Lakers as your favorite,
right? So I have to put my phone down.
You have to put the phone completely away.
Yes.
Yeah, anybody trying to get a hold of me, like, almost any time, should understand that I will probably not answer or look at my phone, not for any other reason than the fact that I'm trying to stay away from a score.
From the update that
it's
could be on your phone.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. You know what? I don't even like our updates at the top of the hour on this show. I know you guys have to hear them out there because you're looking for a score. I'm looking not to hear the scores.
Real quick, the other day, remember the Padres had some news. It was before the trade. It was in between that time.
Right.
There was some news that came down. And remember, I walked down and I was like, I didn't know anything about it. Well, I had forgotten that I had turned all my notifications
off.
So I had no updates. I was like, none of this came on my phone. I didn't see any of this. And then I realized 2 days later, I didn't have my notifications on.
Yeah, yeah. But it's worth it. You have to do that.
100% is worth it.
I mean, I think that would be kind of another strange topic that we could throw out one day for listeners even to participate. What is the greatest lengths you have ever gone to to not hear a score.
I have a great story.
We can't be the only people in the world who
DVR
don't want to hear a score.
Ever since
now
DVR
that you've got
admitted.
DVR, yeah. And it's crazy what you have to do sometimes. I have run out of the room. I have gone to the restroom for the third time in 10 minutes if somebody starts to bring up something. And I don't have the guts to tell everybody, hey, don't tell me the score. So if this topic comes up, I have to go the other way. It's crazy.
You know what's funny is when you're going through that, you go through all different lengths to try to avoid a score. But
yeah.
A lot of the time, like I've gotten so good at, because a lot of times with the DVR, if you got multiple things taping, it goes to the channel that you're taping.
Yeah.
So occasionally,
gotta be careful.
I come in, you got to hit the mute button immediately, and you got to hit the rewind button almost simultaneously, so you hear nothing
to avoid.
And then you got to have your back turned so you don't see scores as it's rewinding.
So you go into your room, turn away from your TV, and turn it on. Anybody watching you from like outer space would be going, "This guy's like from another planet. What's the matter with this guy?" What's your story, Scraby, as far as like how far out of
Phil Mickelson won the British Open?
Okay.
I was traveling for my last job. I was flying from Miami to Chicago. I refused to go to any of the bars in the airport, and at the time, that was a huge thing for me.
That's what you did.
And I get to Chicago, and I didn't realize my hotel was 45 minutes away. I thought I was going to get there. I was going to be able to watch it. And I get to Chicago. My hotel was so far away, I didn't get to watch it until 8 p.m. There was a guy in the airport that wanted to talk to me about it. And I ran away from him pretty much. I was like, I can't talk to you about it. So I ran away. But
yeah.
I finally made it.
One of the soccer dads on my daughter's team was telling me a story about Phil Mickelson having to go help his brother-in-law to move. And the story goes, I told him, listen, I'm taping this major that's going on.
Probably the Masters.
Don't tell me to score.
Yeah.
So he gets there, and of course, his brother-in-law tells him to score. And he's like, bro, I just told you. He's like, oh, that was you. He didn't have his number saved in his phone, so he didn't know.
Brutal.
Well, excuse me, but just 2 weeks ago on a Friday night, we were up at
I know where he's going with
at,
this.
At Cathedral finishing up our show. And the Aztec football game had gotten underway at 6:30. We weren't off the air yet. Scraby comes on and goes, hey, I got a score in the Fresno State Aztec game. And I said, I know you remember this.
Yes,
I said,
yes,
don't tell me I'm taping the game. And Scraby goes, it's 7-0 Fresno State. And I wanted to run over and wring his neck.
Anyone ever do that?
Why do you do that? That was like 2 weeks ago. I'm still angry.
Scraby is a natural hater.
I'm still angry at that.
He doesn't want to see you happy watching your recorded game. So he wants to ruin it for
you. As a San Diego sports show, we should mention the score.
No, we shouldn't. No, we shouldn't. No. Everybody's DVRing everything.
You know, you can be overcoached? You can be overproduced, too, sometimes.
Yeah. Scraby, don't ever give me a score like that again, because I probably – that was as mad as I've ever been with you, and I've been angry before, but I was really angry.
What hockey game were you watching?
I'm not going to tell you.
And just I think it's a Blackhawks
leave
game.
Leave me alone. If you tell me the score of that game, I'm going to just knock your block off. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, Mark Ziegler, he's been following the Aztec basketball team. I've been DVRing those games, I'll tell you that.
Indeed.
And tomorrow night they got Colorado State to kick off Mountain West Conference play. 8-0. How real are the Aztecs? We'll find out next with more Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Scraby, Odd Thomas, Will Today, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
4:22 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby, Will Galvin's in today for Thomas.
Hey,
Scraby!
Yes, the originator of the Scraby, the voice.
That is the voice
of the Scraby.
Scraby.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed. All right. Without further ado, joining us now on Gwynn and Chris, Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune. Mark, how are you doing today? First and foremost.
I'm doing okay, getting ready to leave for Denver and Fort Collins. See a basketball game tomorrow night.
Okay, you're getting an up close look at a team that is playing some really, really good basketball. You put out a tweet yesterday about the Aztecs not being ranked. What in the world do they got to do to get in the top 25 at this point?
You know, it's a good question. I mean, they were so far down. They only had two votes total that coming into the week that, I mean, they had a lot of ground to make up, and they did make a lot of ground. So they're technically 28th right now. But, I mean, you know, look, you're a mid-major team. You're not going to get a lot of recognition. Their games were on Fox Sport 1. Yeah, you could see it nationally, but they were on ESPN. It wasn't where all the East Coast writers were in Las Vegas. And the thing I found interesting is that the writer who covers the Texas Tech, the writer from Lubbock, the Lubbock newspaper, has a vote in the AP Top 25. He was in Las Vegas. The team he covers lost to Creighton and Iowa, and Creighton and Iowa then were lost by double figures to San Diego State. He was there. He didn't even put San Diego State in his top 25. So that gives you an idea of how little respect mid-major teams get sometimes.
Yeah. Well, let's go down to Texas Tech and beat that guy. Silly.
Yeah.
Not happy with him. All right, let me ask you this, Mark. Through eight games, a little hard to make the full comparison, but going to ask you, what do you see in this team that we had in 2011? Maybe what don't you see in this team that 2011 had to be able to go, you know, 20-0 and beyond?
Well, they're kind of the same teams, but they're also a little bit different. They're same in the fact that obviously they're winning, and they've got a lot of veterans on the team. You remember DJ Gay was the point guard of that team. He was a senior. You had Billy White, senior. You had Malcolm Thomas, senior. And then you had a stud in Kawhi Leonard. That team was probably a little bit more active defensively, and they trapped a little bit more in the press, and they could force turnovers in that press. But they also played lower scoring games and just kind of ground out victories and ground you into submission and walked it up and ran their offense and got a shot, maybe got an offensive rebound. And this team has got a lot more offensive weapons, I think, in terms of perimeter shooting, in terms of inside out attack. And so they can hurt you in a lot of ways. But the one thing and the one similarity is this sort of this grit. I remember that 2010-11 team got down by 20-something in a nothing tournament early in the season against like Miami. It was against like IUPUI or it was Wisconsin Green Bay. So it was Green Bay.
Oh, I remember they're
down
that
20-something.
Game. Yeah, I remember.
And they came back and won. And it showed me a lot early in the season. And this team has come back now from 9 down at BYU and 16 down against a Big Ten team. And that kind of shows you they don't panic. They're together. They're the ultimate sort of team. They're not selfish. And so those are qualities that you see in both teams. But, you know, this team's got a long way to go to get to 34-3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union-Tribune, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. Mark, I went to school there from 2000 to 2003. I've been following this basketball
program. Did you guys
program.
Win 8 games in that entire time?
I think we did. Probably got around that
barely.
Number.
Yeah.
Mark, one of the things that was impressive watching this Aztec ball club play this past weekend, when I got a chance to sit down and watch a full game, was this the first time I can remember, at least in my time at San Diego State, since my time at San Diego State, them looking that efficient in a half-court set. Like, even that 2010-11 team, they were so good defensively. It just seemed like everything kind of flowed off of that. I saw in that game against Iowa them swing the ball from one side of the floor to the other, drop it down low, the inside out. You're talking about, is this the best half-court offense that we've seen from an Aztec team?
It has a potential to be. They've had some rough stretches. You know, the first part of the game in the middle of the first half against Iowa, they really got into a funk. And remember, against, I guess it was Tennessee State, they went 8.5 minutes without a basket. So they do have the potential not to be dominant on offense. But, yes, potentially they do. And you have to remember, KJ Fagan, you know, came from Santa Clara. He averaged 17.5 points. It was a first-team all-conference selection in the WCC, which, you know, as Gonzaga, St. Mary's, BYU has some pretty good guards in that league. He has not really gotten untracked yet.
Yeah, yeah.
We finally saw Malachi Flynn get untracked, and you saw what he could do. Now wait when KJ gets going, and you'll really start seeing things. You've seen Jordan Shackle, what he can do. You can see what Matt Mitchell, coming off the bench right now, would be a starter on pretty much any other team on the West Coast. What he can do offensively, Yanni Wetzel in the post. Nathan Metzger really hasn't gotten that going. He has a lot of potential down in the post if they put the best big on Yanni Wetzel and he gets a smaller, slower, shorter guy. And so, I mean, they do have the potential to be really, really good in the half court. But again, there's a lot of new faces, new pieces. They're still figuring each other out. I just think they're going to get better as the season goes on.
Mark Ziegler is with us. He has been so good to us talking Aztec men's basketball here. Colorado State is the conference opener tomorrow night. I want to talk about that game in a second. But the one question I had is because, you know, they show him every game sitting in the stands, no matter where they play, home, away, and as long as it's pretty close by. But Coach Fisher is still right around this team. And I'm just curious the dynamic between Coach Fisher and Brian Dutcher. I know this is now Brian Dutcher's team. I give him all the credit. He's doing a fantastic job as far as I'm concerned. Does Coach Fisher still jump in with a kind word from time to time, or is he strictly a spectator?
I think he's a little bit of both. I mean, he tries to be a spectator, but every now and then Coach Dutcher and Coach Fisher talk all the time. And Coach Fisher, every practice, picking up his son. I just saw him today. And he's such a wise, you know, he's been through this a zillion times. He can just watch half a practice and pick things out. And so, I think you'd be crazy if you were Brian Dutcher and you didn't tap into that resource and wealth of knowledge. And so he does. But he's really, really good about sort of not overstepping his bounds and knowing where his lane is and staying in it. And then when he's asked, he'll do something. Every now and then, he'll talk to a player, or he's asked, hey, what do you think about this? Or how do we approach this? What do you think? And he'll give his opinion. Great resource to have, but it's a really healthy relationship. And, you know, you can see the potential, and I've seen it, and I'm not going to go into names, but at other big programs where a guy has retired and has come to the games, there's a huge shadow cast.
Right,
In this case, it's not a very big shadow because, Steve Fisher, that's just not who he is, and he makes sure that there isn't a big shadow.
Mark, one last question for me. As we get ready for conference play starting tomorrow, Aztecs up at Colorado State, is everything looking the way it's supposed to be in terms of who's going to finish where conference-wise? Are the teams that were expected to be at the top, have they played well thus far? And who do you think, other than San Diego State, will be a threat?
Well, Utah State is very, very good, and they still don't have Nemias Keita, their stud center, who's really one of the best players in the league, and might have the best pro potential of anybody in the league. He's at least, they list him as 7 feet. He's at least that. He's huge. He's mobile. He blocks shots. He has some offensive game, just a presence. Now, he's not playing at all, and I'm not sure when or if he's going to be back. They're playing great without him, and so they're certainly the favorite in the conference. San Diego State is right there with them. In many metrics, San Diego State has jumped ahead of them in the last week because they played tougher competition and beat them. And then it drops off a little bit, not in terms of talent, but just in terms of, you know, can they put it together? Can they have the chemistry they have not shown they've had in the last few years? To more of a jump to teams like Boise State, Fresno State, Nevada. Colorado State might be in that mix a little bit. But, you know, the disappointing team so far have been UNLV with their new coach, has not played well. They're 3-6. They do have the potential to play well, but they haven't so far. Air Force, which had everybody back and people thought they'd be a pretty good team, they have a losing record and they haven't played well. And Fresno State's 2-4, and people thought they would be pretty good this year, and they've just decided to go with younger players and are really struggling so far. So those three teams have been a disappointment. I think Colorado State has been the surprise. Better than people thought, and everyone else has kind of been what they expected.
When do we start selling out Viejas Arena again and going crazy like we did 10 years ago? Is that on the horizon here, Mark? Do you sense some of that building?
I definitely do. I mean, you know this town. It's a bandwagon. So I really have to admit. We are what we are, and let's just embrace it and go with it.
Yeah.
But they, I think they're getting closer. They've had a couple of ticket deals. I think they just sent me a note that there's 900 seats left for San Jose State, which tells you something because it's
good.
San Jose State, and they went 1-17 last year. So I think we're going to get closer. I think by the time, you know, we get back into conference play in January, I think you'll start seeing full houses if they keep winning, because
sure,
that's sort of the key ingredient there.
Yep, key ingredient. San Diego must win games.
Yeah. They lose a game, they'll be calling for Dutcher's head.
Mark,
crazy.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's why I went ahead and made sure I got tickets to that San Jose State game, because I know pretty soon it's going to be tough to get tickets. Mark, as always, man, we appreciate you coming on, giving us some of your
knowledge. Hey, my pleasure.
Have a good trip to the floor.
Hey, anytime.
Thanks,
all right,
Mark.
Will do.
All right,
talk
Mark Ziegler right there, San Diego Union Tribune.
Eric Cruz, you are our biggest fan. You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. You've won a family four-pack of tickets to the 97.3 The Fan at SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. And you will be entered to win our grand prize, a perfect Christmas gift, a Barry Manilow Vegas getaway that includes two VIP tickets to see Manilow perform at the International Theater at the Westgate Las Vegas, dinner for two at the Edge Steakhouse, plus a Serenity Spa experience. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter.
And if Eric Cruz does not call back in,
if,
starting now,
because this promo needs to be longer,
you have if he doesn't call back in 10 minutes, we will announce it, and the eighth caller will take his place.
Eric Cruz, 10 minutes from now, if you don't call, the eighth caller after that.
Did it start yet?
Be our win. It definitely started.
It's all you, Eric. Come on, man.
Get your call in, Eric, or somebody else. All right, we got to step away, pay some bills. When we return, the Big Five is up next. What do you got for us, Scraby?
A lot.
All right, we'll leave it at that. A lot.
Boy, I can't wait.
Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
News from 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Breaking news on 97.3 The Fan is powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Is this really qualifying?
Yeah, it's news.
Definitely qualifies.
Well, it happened in the last 15 minutes.
That what you mean by qualifies because it's 15 minutes?
No, it just doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
I mean,
to
by
me.
The way, we did break news on Joe Maurer one time. So
I know.
Just saying.
I believe he's retired, is he not? Today's breaking news is that the college football playoff rankings are out. It's not really a shocker. They release them every Tuesday around this time. There's no shock in the rankings. Ohio State, number one. LSU, number two. Clemson, number three. Georgia, number four. The interesting part comes in after Georgia.
How so?
Because Utah's five, followed by Oklahoma and Baylor. If Georgia loses the SEC championship game to LSU, which they certainly could, they're a 7.5-point underdog, and Utah beats Oregon, does Utah get into the playoff ahead of the winner of the Oklahoma-Baylor game, which is a 6-7 matchup, or does the Oklahoma-Baylor winner jump over Utah even if Utah beats Oregon?
Well, as an Aztec, we want Utah to win this game.
Right, because that sets things up better for an Aztec bowl game.
Yes.
So, but I'm saying if Oregon beats Utah, which is a possibility, certainly, if Utah beats Oregon, they still may not get into the college football playoff is what I'm saying. The East Coast bias may jump in and put the winner, the Oklahoma-Baylor, into the playoff game instead.
You're
I've seen it happen
right.
So many times before.
I hope you're wrong because
I do too.
I want to see a West Coast, a Pac-12
team. I would like to see
there.
A West Coast team get a shot at it, yeah. Absolutely. I'll tell you one thing. If the rankings stay the way they are at the top, that first-round game between LSU and Clemson,
whew.
That's going to be something.
That's going to be a doozy.
I mean, that's just a semifinal game. Both teams undefeated, Clemson defending national champs. My goodness. And we know how good LSU is this year. I think LSU and Clemson are both better than Ohio State, but that's just me. All right, Scraby.
Do you think LSU is better than both Clemson and Ohio State?
I don't know that they're better than Clemson. I think both LSU and Clemson
are
better than Ohio State.
I agree with that.
That's how I would rank them, but nobody asked me. But they did ask me for a Big Five, so Scraby, deliver.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
As always, follow me on Twitter, at Matt Scraby. It's a great thing if you do that, right, guys?
I would also appreciate it if you'd follow Thomas Andrews at OddThomas71. He's not
no.
here to promote
yes.
himself today.
No.
Yes, give Odd Thomas
As
some
a matter
love.
Of fact, if you're only going to follow one of the two.
Do we need to give Will some love, too, since he's here today?
No, we
yeah.
do not.
What's Will's Twitter handle?
No one knows.
Well, you...
no one knows.
I think it's at Will Galvez.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We
would make sense.
Yeah. At Matt Scraby, though, is the best out of all of them.
Sure.
Sure.
You make you be the decision maker on that as you listen to this Big Five.
Number five.
Stage is yours.
Thank you. Some may say legendary Dodgers broadcaster Vin Scully is the GOAT of baseball broadcasters, and just days away from his 92nd birthday, he said something that shocked a lot of people. According to David J. Halberstam of the Sports Broadcast Journal, Scully said, quote, "Today on TV, you have the expert analyst who himself generally played the game. There's a tendency to talk after every pitch or after every play. I don't know. Maybe he has to justify his role, his reason for being in the booth. And today, they get into areas where I'm totally lost. They spend an awful lot of time on how to throw a certain pitch. I'm basically simple-minded. If I'm watching a game, I don't need to know how to throw a certain pitch. The launch angle, I heard that and it almost knocked me off my chair.
I love this.
Analytics have passed me by 100 miles by now." End quote. So, Chris, do you agree with the GOAT?
What'd he say? Analytics have passed him by by 100 miles?
Correct.
I agree with him 150%. There are very few analysts in baseball now that I find to be entertaining anymore. The entertainment has gone out of it a little bit, Tony, in my mind. Some guys still are. Mark Grant, for one, is entertaining.
Yep, 100%.
I enjoy listening to a Mark Grant game because he entertains me. He also throws some of the launch angle stuff in there, too.
Launch angle, I think he likes to say.
Right, he kind of has fun with it. But I want to be entertained. I don't need all that minutia. And Vin Scully was the master at entertaining, as he also gave you the P's and Q's and what was going on in the game better than anybody. So I think if Vin Scully says it, some people ought to pay a little attention to it, to be honest with you.
Tony?
Yes, I agree with Vin and Chris. Vin was...
Hey, that's another name for the show, Vin and Chris.
But Vin was always really good. By the time a guy got done with his at-bat, you knew about his family. You knew about
something interesting.
Something interesting about him that may or may not have had to do anything with the game of baseball. But you were entertained, and you knew what the count was at all times. He didn't miss none of that stuff.
Nope.
It was amazing. He's probably the only broadcaster in the history of broadcasting that could start a story with two outs and two strikes.
I know.
And get through the entire story.
Yes. That's a no-no in broadcasting because they always make the final out. Now, Vin Scully, look, I grew up in L.A. You're in San Diego, but you got to play for – Vin Scully got to announce some of your at-bats.
Yes.
Did you ever get to hear one of those on tape?
Of course.
Oh, you
I
did?
I got them lined up at the house.
Oh, really?
Oh, bring one in. Can you bring one in?
I want to hear a couple.
Yeah, I'll bring one in. I'll try to find one where he spoke really nicely about it.
Yeah.
Did he ever speak?
I wouldn't think he would have a tough time speaking nicely about it.
He'd never said anything bad.
All right. Our biggest fan did not call in, so right now, eighth caller, 833-288-0973. Will is going to get you. And you win. You just take his place. So that's all you got to do.
Will is going to get you.
I didn't know where to go with that.
It's raining.
I was trying to be Vin Scully there.
It's very cool.
But, all right.
You know what? Speaking of announcers that are still doing it, that are still entertaining, I like Kruko and Kuiper.
Me
as
too.
Well for the job.
San Francisco?
They do really good jobs.
There are definitely guys that still entertain.
Brian B.A. for Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But I think the one thing that Vin's saying here is that the expert analysis generally played the game, and then he says, it's like he's trying to justify his reason for being in the booth. And that couldn't be more accurate. That's what the guys who I don't care for do.
100%.
Just entertain me and give me some knowledge. That's good. I don't need... I know why you're there. Don't tell me how smart you are.
But that's what happens when you keep bringing in like former players as analysts. It kind of only leads to them feeling like, I got to make sure everybody knows why I'm
there. That's not everybody, and
no,
I will say that the guy sitting next to me on my right here, I enjoy listening to him do color on a ball game.
Interesting.
Yes.
Tony's flexing.
Because he says stuff like, He tried to sneak the cheese past.
Yes, he did.
What would you say?
By the way, I need that. I need to have that one. I need that one back. I need to have that one
back.
I need
it back. No,
that was a great one.
I didn't like it.
That was a great one. Washington, the University of Washington coach. Let me start that over. Yeah. The University of Washington head coach Chris Peterson will step down after the Huskies bowl game and be replaced by defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake, the school announced Monday. As part of the shocking announcement, the school said Peterson will transition into a leadership advisory role within the athletic department. Here is Chris Peterson talking about his decision.
One of the things that I've always felt that I've been fairly intuitive with is when to go and when to stay and when to change. And I felt very strongly that this is the right time for me personally to make a change.
A source close to Peterson told ESPN's Adam Rittenberg that Peterson is healthy, has no family issues. The season just really wore on him, the source said. Peterson will be in an administrative role working with leadership development for coaches and players. So, Tony, is the University of Washington football program a top 10 job in the country?
Top 10?
Top 10
no.
job.
I don't think it's a top 10 job. It's a good job, though. It's a good job. Just remember, Boise State was the springboard that got him to the Washington job. So it's clearly a job that's desirable. Is it top 10? I'm going to say no.
Is it top 20? It's hard to rank.
I'd say it's just outside that.
Okay.
Just outside. I'd say it's a top 25, top 30 program.
All right.
A job like that would be a step up from any mid-major program.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Chris?
I think they're top 20. I think Washington's a big-time school. It's in a big city, Seattle. They've had great success. Chris Peterson had them in the college football playoff about 4 years ago. They didn't stand a chance against Alabama. And I find this whole story a little bit fishy.
Me too.
I know you do because you think everything's a conspiracy. But this is the first season that Chris Peterson has had where – Washington has struggled even a little.
Mightily.
They're 7-5. They finished 4-5 in the conference. He says it was anxiety and stress that led him to stepping down. That could be, but I'm sure that anxiety and stress was applied by the boosters and the people around that program because they didn't like 7-5 at Washington. And that goes along with what we talked about earlier today. You know, how about some appreciation for the job that Chris Peterson did while he was your head coach? I mean, Washington's been one of the best teams on the West Coast for quite a while, and 12-1 just 4 years ago and got to that college football playoff. So I think Chris Peterson's a great coach, and I think he'll turn up somewhere else once he gets away from the anxiety and stress that's being provided, that's applied to him.
And the sanctions that are probably going to come down. Okay.
Oh, here you go. Start ridiculous.
There he goes.
A lot of baseball experts out there saying the first big-time free agent is going to sign sooner rather than later, and that is former national superstar Anthony Rendon. He made himself a ton of money by playing so well in the World Series. Well, the report's out saying he has met with the Dodgers and the Rangers. So, Chris, where is the best fit for Anthony Rendon?
Padres.
But wait, we have Manny Machado at third base.
I don't care. You play Rendon at second base, and you can cast off Jarrix and Profar, as far as I'm concerned. And the Dodgers have a pretty good third baseman.
They're moving him to first.
Turner
reportedly.
Going to first base now.
He's getting up there.
Well, there isn't a single Dodger player that doesn't play at least 18 positions.
Touché.
It's incredible. Yeah, I think Rendon's going to be the big money ticket. I think he's the best right-handed hitter in baseball right now. So I don't
Agreed.
Think it doesn't matter where he goes. Wherever he goes, he's going to fit. He's a good fit for anybody. So whoever's lucky enough to get him is what I would say.
Tony, who is the best fit for Anthony Rendon?
Best fit for Rendon. I mean, he's the best fit for all 30 teams, to be honest with you. Because he can play second. Remember, that's where he started his MLB career while Zimmerman was still the third baseman. Rendon
right.
was playing second. So, assuming he can do both, Pods would be a good spot.
I did not expect either of you to say the Padres.
Well, we're begging,
right?
But why not?
We are definitely begging. the Dodgers would be a fit, especially if they're not going to address any of the other things that they need to address. Why not throw another bat into the lineup and try to create more runs?
My goodness.
I
was going to say, can Rendon pitch out of the bullpen?
The Yankees.
The Yankees?
The Yankees. Yeah. Find a place to play them there. I just can't think of very many other teams, but any team would be happy to have.
Not the Nationals? His team? That
Of course, yeah. The Nationals. Okay. That's
number two.
I didn't mean to do that, but we'll move on. In the NFL playoffs, if the NFL playoffs were to start today, here's who would be in. With the first round byes in the AFC, we have the Ravens and Patriots. With the Ravens having home field advantage, then you have the Texans, Chiefs, Bills, and Steelers in that order. For the NFC, you now have the Saints at the top, and then the Seahawks with the byes. Then you have the Packers, Cowboys, Niners, Vikings in that order. So, Tony, who is the worst team in the playoffs if it were to start today?
In the NFC? Or in all, give me,
all of playoffs.
Give me the teams again.
Ravens, Patriots, Texans, Chiefs, Bills, and Steelers. And then you got the Saints, Seahawks, Packers, Cowboys, Niners, Vikings.
Oh, the Cowboys. They're
easy?
Yeah, I think it's easy. I mean, the Bills, even though they're really good, I don't see them in the tier with those other teams. But they clearly are. They beat up on the Cowboys.
They crushed the Cowboys.
So, Cowboys are the worst team. And with good reason. I mean, they have everything you would want for a team that you would want to contend, except wins. They just can't seem to win enough games, or at least at this point they've won enough. But, yeah, I'm going to say wins. I'm going to say Cowboys.
Chris?
Cowboys would probably get the nod. Probably the team with the least amount of talent that's in the playoffs right now is the Steelers.
Steelers,
though.
Yeah, for sure.
But they're what? Both the lower-seeded teams.
Yes,
so.
They're the sixth seed. Yeah. Sixth seed. All right. Yeah. Let's try to fit in this one real quick. Arizona Cardinals defensive back Josh Shaw has been suspended through the 2020 season for betting on football, and he bet on his team to lose, according to David Purdom of ESPN.com. Per the report, Shaw placed a parlay bet at Caesars on the second halves of a trio of games. The bet included the Buccaneers minus 1 point against the Cardinals, and then the Buccaneers ended up winning the game, so he didn't cover. Anyway,
yeah, I don't think that's right. I didn't think he bet against his team. I think he bet that this team would win.
Yeah. I don't understand this.
It sounded like he bet against his team, but
he didn't.
It's hard to believe.
He started the year with the Cardinals when he signed in March, then landed on injured reserve in August. He listed professional football player on his application for a betting account, prompting Caesars to notify the Nevada Gaming Control Board and then the NFL. So, Chris, real quick, do you have an issue with an injured player betting on games?
Yes, I do, because anything connected with the NFL, you just cannot gamble on it, and it's imperative to the league to stay legit. So, yes, I do have a problem with it, and obviously the league does too, and they should.
Tony?
Yes, all of that.
Really?
I have an issue. Yes, that affects the intake. Once fans start knowing players are betting for the teams they play on or against, why would they believe that anything is not rigged at that point?
True.
It just opens up a big box that you can't close at the end of the day. Why would you put your profession on there?
They asked for it.
I don't care. You can make something up. Like, if you really are going to do something like this and bet when you know you can't, at least you can do is not put your actual occupation on there. I'm just saying.
Run! All right, that's it for the Big Five. And
most guys who do things wrong or are criminals are dumb. That's how they get caught.
Touche.
Darlene from San Diego replaced our old biggest fan,
good.
And she has become the new biggest fan.
Way
today.
To go, Darlene.
Thanks.
Nicely done.
Nice work, Darlene.
All right, good Big Five today, Scraby. Well done by you.
Oh, thank you.
Answers were excellent by us. 5 o'clock, recap what's going on in the world of sports on this Tuesday. Stick around. We're coming back. Second half of the program kicks off next. Southern California's 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.